Praise Jesus, praise God. Trust that you are well and that the Lord is keeping you, sustaining and watching over your life. It's another good morning that God has given us to listen to his word, and we do not take it for granted. We know it's his mercy, it's his grace, it's his goodness. And we have been in the book of 1 Corinthians, and we are doing a study, just taking it day by day. And yesterday we were able to look at the natural man. The Bible tells us that, but the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit, neither can they know him. The things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness to him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. One of the things that God emphasizes is that he has things of God. There are things of God. There are deep things of God. In fact, there's a version that puts it there, the bottomless things of God that are available, and they're freely given to those who have the Spirit of God. The spiritual man who is filled by the Spirit of God knows the thoughts of God, has understanding of the things of God, will have knowledge of the things of God, will have insight of the things of God, will have revelation, because there is a place where no eye has seen, no ears heard, no mind has conceived what the Lord has prepared for them that love him and are called according to his purpose. And the Bible says the Spirit has revealed us to these things, but it has been revealed to us by the Spirit freely, that we might know the things that are given to us freely. God is a God of secrets. He is a God who is not just found in the open. The Bible tells us it is the glory of God to conceal a matter. It is the glory of kings to search it out. So there is a predisposition of the heart of a king by which we might be able to search out the mysteries of God, the deep things of God, because God hides things in hidden wisdoms. There is the hidden wisdom of God appearing as a man. That is a wisdom of God. How could divinity find itself manifested and hidden in humanity? How could the creator of the whole universe be found hidden as a child in a human, in his creation, and by which he could have been destroyed? And indeed he was killed by his own creation. How could God hide redemption in crucifixion? The enemy thought they had won. The rulers of this age, had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Because this is a mystery of God. God is a God of secrets. He is a God of mysteries. Even Jesus was on the earth, he did not speak to the people except by parables. But to his disciples, he taught them freely and openly. And in fact, he says, it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, the secrets of the kingdom of God. The things of God are spiritually discerned. God wants you to discern by his Spirit. The things of God are found in the deep waters. The things of God are found in the bottomless things. The things of God are known by his Spirit, and you cannot know God except by the Holy Spirit. It is only the Holy Spirit who has access to the mind of God, to the deep things of God, and it is only the Holy Spirit, by our relationship with him, can we learn his voice. Sorry, can we hear his voice? Can we know him? The Holy Spirit is the one that makes us born again. He is the one that makes us alive. If we walk in step with the Spirit of God, then we are children of God. We are sons of God. We are the mature sons of God. God desires that you and I walk in maturity. Sadly, those who do not know the Holy Spirit, everything about the Spirit becomes foolishness to them. Why? Because the Spirit is not one that is demonstrated through laws of science. No. He is like the wind. You might not see him, but you cannot deny his experience. You cannot deny his action. His work is demonstrated. His power is demonstrated. He is made manifest. That which is in the physical is controlled by the spiritual. The Bible tells us that the spiritual man judges all things, yet he himself is not judged by anyone. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual, there is a place where we compare spiritual things, where you look at growth in the natural and you compare it with growth in the supernatural. That's why Paul will say, I desire to give you solid food, but yet you are still babes. You only are in need of milk. And this was the challenge of Paul, and this is where we start from today in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where Paul expresses his frustration with the Corinthian church that, look here, by now, I mean, there is a big span, at least 10 years or so. He says, by now, I expect that you should be taking meat and bones, solid food. However, I still find you to be babes. Why are you babes? Because you are still carnal. He longs to give them spiritual, solid food, but he cannot. In fact, in his entire time that he was with them, the Corinthian church, for 18 months, 1.5 years, he could only give them milk. He wrote a previous letter to them, which is the lost epistle to the Corinthians. Yet they still needed milk. He writes to them again. This is the 1 Corinthians, according to our canon. He still considers them babes. Why? Because they are carnal. They are after men. They are divided by men. They are focused on, I follow Apollos, I follow Peter. They have no understanding that all things are theirs, that it is not for them to glory in men. One builds, yes, another. One plants, yes, another builds, another waters. But it is God that causes increase. As believers, we are called to see things from a supernatural perspective. From the spirit perspective, they are all one, the builder, the planter, and the waterer, the gardener. They are both one. To God, they are one. They are doing the same job, growing the harvest. We are God's fellow workers in God's vineyard, and God expects us, that each of us, to do the part that we have been called to do. There is one that is called to be an apostle, another is a prophet, another is a pastor, another is a teacher, another is an evangelist, another is a deacon, another is a giver, another is a cleaner, another is one who administrates, another has gifts of healing, another has gifts of prophecy, gifts of tongues, interpretation of tongues. Each and every one of us is called to serve the body. The unique gifts are given by the Holy Spirit for the profit of all. It is not to profit yourself. I know we are in a generation that teaches it is your gift that is your profit. It is your gift that is supposed to make room for you and to make you rich. But you see, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the profit of all. It's given for the good of all. When God gives us freely His gifts, it is for the benefit of all. It is for the outpouring of all. It is for the outpouring of His Spirit. God desires that His Spirit be poured out upon us without measure. But you see, God knows our hearts. He knows the limits to which the gifts can be a distraction to us. The church in Corinth was not lacking in any utterance. They are not lacking in knowledge. They are not lacking in spiritual gifts. But Paul still called them carnal. So gifts are freely given. But you see, maturity is not a product of a gift. Maturity is a product of relationship. Is a product of consistency. Is a product of spiritual edification. Being built up into God's house. Being the temple of God. Constantly realizing that we are the Spirit of God. We are the temple of the Spirit of God, and He lives in us. And by Him, we are taught. By Him, we are strengthened. By Him, we are built word by word, line upon line, doctrine upon doctrine. God desires that you and I grow. Unless we desire to grow, unless we desire the milk of the Word of God, unless we get to meet. Paul said that when he came to them, he came with much trembling, not with human words, but he says, but there is still a word of wisdom that is spoken among the mature. Paul wants them to move into the realm of the mature. There is a place where the mature are not struggling with sin. They're not struggling with the basics of doctrine, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, the issues of baptisms. All those are still in the realm of growing up. The milk, that is the milk. Trying to understand the doctrines, that is the milk. But you see, moving forward, the Lord permitting, we are able to grow into maturity. Not again to works that, dead works that lead to repentance. Repentance from dead works. God desires that you and I grow into maturity, not to be babes. Babes are tossed about by every wind of doctrine, every cunning and craftiness of men. A new doctrine appears, one that you do not see your fathers do, you do not see your elders do, and you quickly run. A new man of God appears and you are quickly chasing after them, not knowing their background, not knowing where they come from, not knowing where the source of their power, the source of their lives, the character of their lives. And men are easily swayed by every wind of doctrine, by every manifestation of power. Yet even the coming of the lawless one shall come in miracles and signs, that even the elect, if possible, will be deceived. But the mercy of God is available. Mercy, mercy, mercy. That those who are lost can still be found. That prey can be snatched from the mouth of the terrible. It can be snatched. The Lord says, I will contend with those who contend with you. Those who fight you, I will fight with them. Don't worry about the struggle. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. He is still able. He is still more than able to rescue, still more than able to deliver, still more than able to take you through even that hour of trial that is to come. Fear not, child of God. Fear not. The Lord is at hand to help you. Let us read 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The Bible says, and brethren, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. These are strong words for a church that is full of gifts, enriched in all knowledge and utterance. They were gifted. They were anointed. In fact, according to our words, our day will say these guys were anointed. They moved in the spirit. They spoke in tongues. They healed the sick. They prophesied. But Paul tells them that, look here, I could not address you as spiritual people, but as carnal. That means that it is possible to be highly gifted and yet carnal. And when this happens, the scripture refers to you as a babe in Christ. So babes have gifts because gifts are from your birth. You know, when you are born again, the Holy Spirit gives you a gift free of charge. But you see, that is gift-based. But there is a place of authority. Authority is relationship-based. A babe, yes, can heal. But you see, when you encounter certain levels, Jesus will tell them, this kind does not go except by prayer and fasting. That is a place of diligence in the spiritual disciplines. So he tells them, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, as spiritual. In fact, the people is added in italics, but he's basically saying, I could not speak to you as spiritual. That means that he desired to address them as mature believers, but he could not. And he says, I could only consider you as infants. He says, I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. Why? For you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? What is Paul saying? He's saying that as a spiritual, as a pneumaticos, in fact, the Greek word is pneumaticos, that means you are born of the Spirit. As spiritual people who are born again, there are things that you need not to be having. That means that you need to have put to death your carnal nature, the things of your flesh, the things that are of your former life. Those that belong to Christ have crucified their flesh along with its desires and passions, and have put on the new man created in true holiness. The new man, which is the Spirit of Christ, that is, we put on righteousness, we put on holiness, and by him we learn to speak the thoughts of God. We learn to express the heart of God. We learn to declare the truths of God. We learn to live in harmony with all men. We learn to understand that God has given us. We are of one substance. We are of one spirit. That indeed one might be the preacher, another might be the usher, another might be the giver, another might be the cleaner. But all these are one and the same body. We are one. There is a unity of the Spirit that comes with maturity, that you desire that your brother grows, that your brother who has fallen is picked up and does not stay in the mud. A maturity that does not delight in the falling of brethren, but that delights in the unity of the Spirit. Not unity in wrongness, but unity in growth, unity in maturity, unity in character, unity in love. Because he says, for where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you. Why do people have envy, divisions, and strife? It's because they are carnal. It's because they are saying, oh, why is this person having more followers than me? Why is this person growing at a faster rate than me? Oh, why does this person have a bigger church than me? Oh, why does this person have grown so fast? Because to them, they are counting things from the human perspective, not seeing that if my brother advances, it is the church of Christ. It is still the same church of my Father. It is still one of us who is moving forward. We are advancing against the kingdom of darkness. And if one of us is winning, all of us are winning. This is what the Corinthian church were not understanding. To them, they were focused on personalities. They are focused on Apollos. They are focused on Cephas. They are focused on Paul. Yet they don't understand that each of us are one and the same. And that's why Paul says, verse 5, who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. Whether you came to know the Lord through Paul or Apollos, what are we? We are just ministers through whom you came to believe. We are just people by which God allowed you to believe as to each one. That means the Lord has given to every man. There are people who will believe through you. But it does not mean that it makes you so much great. No, you are just minister. What is a minister? A minister is a servant. They are servants of God. They are servants of Christ. In fact, later on, verse 4, it says, each man must consider us as mere servants of God, stewards of the mysteries of God. We should not consider ourselves more highly than we ought to. We are basically servants of God, duolos, servants of God. And he says, it's according to what each one was given. That means that there is someone who was given 5,000 members. There is another who was given 20 members. There is another who was given none. No church at all. But you see, each one will be judged according to what they were given by Christ. The capacity that Christ gave you is by the measure by which he shall judge you. Now verse 8 he says, now he who, verse 6, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. So, I planted, Apollos watered, but it is God that gave the increase. I tell you, there is someone that God plants. In fact, someone once described that even if you go to preach to someone, you're not that first person that preached to them. There's someone else who planted the seed. And by the time you came, you just came to harvest. Jesus said, I sent you to harvest where you did not plant. In fact, you have entered into the labors of others. In fact, if everything that you have is a product of your own labor, then it's a difficult work. Paul is the one who said, I labored. My desire was always to plant, to go and preach the gospel where it has never been preached, not to depend on the labors of others. But you see, he still needed the work of other ministers. He still needed Timothy, Titus, Sospeter. He still needed other elders in all those churches to continue watering. Yes, he could plant, but you see, he could not stay planting. There is someone else that had to come and water. Apollos came and watered where he had planted. He came and watered with the word. He was teaching the word. You see, it is the water. Remember, the word of God is like rain. It comes from the sky. It comes to the ground. And it will not go back unless it bears fruit. So when the water of the word comes, when the rain comes, when the watering comes, then it is God that gives increase. Growth only comes from God. We must never forget that growth is not the product of men. I'm telling you, you can sit under the most anointed of teachers, but unless God gives you increase, you will never grow. You must always submit yourself to the God of all increase, the God of all growth, the God of all grace. It is only by his mercies and grace that we grow. Self-discipline has its limits. It has its place, yes. But you see, there is a realm beyond self-discipline, because even the disciplined get injured. Even the disciplined get tired. Even the disciplined get discouraged. They grow weary. Why? Because they find at times they are running alone. But you see, there is a place of grace where the Holy Spirit knows our weaknesses. He is the one that knows where we are struggling. He knows where we need some prop-ups. He knows where he needs to keep us still fast until the time of our appearing, until the time of our showing forth to Israel. Never despise the processes of God. There is one that plants, and there's another that waters. And verse 8 says, now he who plants and he who waters are one. And each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. This is the mystery that God is teaching us today. That the one that is planting and the one that is watering, they are one. To God, they are one. In fact, it's just like an organization. If one department starts fighting with another, to the outside world, they are still the same organization fighting. If failure of your brother is your failure. There's something that you must understand. There's something that God loves about the brethren. Joseph, God sent him ahead for his brethren. He said, remember your brethren for the sake of your brothers. Jesus tells Peter, I know Satan has asked to sift you, but I have prayed for you that after you have returned, that you shall rise and strengthen your brothers. There is a place that God calls us to go back and seek out our brothers. Those that have fallen, those that are discouraged, go back for them. Verse 9. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work or what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, then he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved as though through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. I will pause here, and by the grace of God, we'll continue tomorrow and look at this aspect of wise master building. Paul clearly saying that as a wise master builder, and this is one of the aspects of the apostolic wisdom. One of the tenets of the apostolic is wisdom. Wisdom, building, structures, direction, pointing the church for the future, doctrine. There are many tenets of the apostles, but that is for another day. Our focus today has been the oneness of knowing that we need to grow. We are a body. One plants, another waters, but it's God that gives increase. It is God that gives growth. It is God that establishes. We need to move away from carnality, but become spiritual, no longer babes in Christ. Unity, no envy, no strife, no divisions among you. Let us not behave like mere men. Paul is saying that you are not just a mere man. You must know that you are a spiritual man, a spiritual people. You are a pneumaticos, one that is born by the Spirit of God. The Christian is not just a mere man, and you shall not die like mere men. Know who you are. Know the spirit by which you are born. Know the spirit by which you carry. Know the anointing by which you walk in, and experience the fullness of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for speaking to us in a language that we understand. I pray that your words, as you have spoken, will not go back empty. They shall bear fruit. And indeed, this fruit is growing. It is bearing fruit. It is renewing your children. It is bearing depths, that your children are understanding you. They are learning from you. They are hearing you. They are being taught the word. They are growing in knowledge and understanding. And I plead your mercies over our weaknesses. Where we have failed, show us mercy, O God. Where we have brought in divisions, where we have lost sight of the oneness of the Spirit, show us mercy. I pray for unity of your body, that we shall be as one. We shall be as one. One in body, one in spirit, one as a church, succeeding and growing in the kingdom of God. Heal your children, provide answers, provide breakthrough. May they experience you, may they encounter you in a special way. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Shalom and blessed day ahead.